Good morning, church. How are you liking the weather?
Cold.
We don't have this coldness in the Philippines. It's always 90 and 100. So we are loving it. My wife loves it. And there's probably some of you that are looking forward to this kind of weather. You get to put your suit and your coat as well. Today we will be talking about heroes. Last Sunday we talked about, last Sunday we talked about isolated but not insulated. Isolated in a way that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We have a different lifestyle, we have a different dreams, we have different morals, we have different direction in life. And we are not isolated because we are not protected from the evils of this world. Things can happen to us. We get sick, we die, we struggle with temptations and those kinds of things. So we are isolated in a sense that even though we are in this world, we are not of this world. We are not insulated in the sense that we are not protected from the evils of this world. And we have concluded last Sunday that in this world where we are struggling with many illnesses, struggles, challenges with visions like what you want to do in the future, struggles with temptation, sin, and immoralities, we need to walk alongside each other. Because no Christian can do it by himself. I can't do it by myself. I can't do it alone. I need you, and I think you need me, and we need each other. So how are we going to do this? And so this is some sort of a sequel to this talk last Sunday. I was going to ask you if you were given, obviously this video went ahead of me, but if you were given the chance to become a superhero, just to borrow your imagination here, who or what would you become? Would you become a Superman? Would you become Batman? Would you become a Green Lantern? Would you become, you know, those superheroes that you love? And what kind of power would you want? And I use this illustration because we love superheroes. I'm not saying that we should have some sort of theology from superheroes, because obviously this is fantasy. These are man-made creations. There's no human being that can stare you and you'll melt. There's no human being that can fly without, of course, without parachute and wingsuit. Because we are just like this. But we have loved the superheroes because they help us fantasize about having the capability, the power to do something beyond human, you know, norms. You can fly, you can stretch this metal bar, you can look at something and melt that object, or you can have this ability where the metals will come flying at you because you are this magnetic person. You can have the power to read somebody's mind, like Professor X. You can walk through doors. You can be somebody. You can be Rubberman or probably the Fantastic Four. So superheroes are awesome people, and we love them because they help us fantasize those longings to be somebody that has powers. So I'm using this analogy loosely to say that we need heroes in our lives, people that we look up to walk on this earth as Christians. You look up to somebody. I look up to my father. He's not a perfect person, by the way. I look up to Peter in the Bible, who was a liar. I look up to Moses in the Bible, who sinned. I look up to Noah in the Bible, who was a drunkard. These are my heroes because they, even though normal persons, they were able to go through life believing in God, and they died for God and in their belief of this awesome, awesome God. And so, the first point that I would like us to consider this morning is this: God always works through human vessels. God always works through human vessels because He loves to bless us with an experience of power. If you go to Exodus chapter 3 and 4, you'll see Moses there, And he was having this one-on-one conversation with God, but he was not there for himself. Moses was not there so that he can have this one-on-one conversation with God. God was there for Moses because Moses was called by God to be this person, this hero that will deliver Israelites from Egypt. 40 years earlier, Moses was with the Egyptians. He was one of the princes of Egypt. And he grew up in the temples of Pharaoh, and he got to know the culture, the knowledge, the powers of the Egyptians. And so he used that to his privilege, knowing that he, even though he has dressed himself like an Egyptian, he has this Hebrew background. And so he went out and helped this Hebrew that was being castigated by the Egyptian slave master. And he helped this Hebrew, but then he ended up killing this Egyptian slave master. And so he ran away for 40 years in the wilderness, and that's where he found his wife and have a family and had been moving around in the desert with a stick. From having a sword to having a stick for 40 years. Leading his life as a shepherd for 40 years with this wooden stick. It's not one of these awesome sticks, it's just a stick. But he used this as his guide to not only drive the sheep, but also to talk to God. And we will see this later in the sermon this morning. But we will see that in that avenue where God called Moses, Moses came up with many excuses. First he said, but who am I that you should call me as this somebody that will deliver, this hero, the superhero that will deliver this Israelites from Egypt? I am a nobody. And then he said another excuse. He said, but who are you? Israelites have been living in this slavery for 400 plus years. They don't know anything about you. Will they come and will they believe me if you send me to them? Who are you? Then he came up with another excuse and he said, but what if they don't believe me? And so on and so forth, many excuses. Despite of many excuses of Moses, five at least, God said, go. God could have easily said, okay, I'm done with you because you definitely don't want to work with me. But God was very patient with Moses. He stick with his plan and he said, go. Take this staff with you and tell them that I have sent you to be my deliverer. Here's an interesting text in Exodus chapter 4. He said to Moses, and this is about Aaron and Moses, because Moses said his last excuse was, just send somebody else, just send Aaron, my brother. And so God said to Moses, verse 16 of chapter 4, Exodus 4:16 says, so he shall be your spokesman to the people, referring to Aaron. So Aaron will be your spokesman to the people, and Aaron himself will be a mouth for you, but you, Moses, shall be, read the text, God to Aaron. Wow, that's a big shoes to fill in for Moses. Aaron will become the prophet, and Moses will become the God, will become this being that has power that can stand up next or on opposite end of these Egyptian gods. Moses will become the God to the Egyptians. That's a big shoes to fill in. But this is God who has given the privilege to Moses. God said to Moses, I want you to be that person. I want you to be the superhero here. But we know in a bigger picture that Moses is not really the superhero here, it's God. But God has given every opportunity for Moses to become the superhero. He loves to work with broken human vessels. That's you and me. Why does God love to do that? Because he knows we are flawed. He knows we have mistakes. God loves to do that because he wants us to experience his power. See, in the beginning of this Exodus, Moses was not a good, faithful follower of God. Actually, this is his first encounter of God. But later in the history or story of Exodus, you will see Moses having a close relationship with God. So close that he said, God, why would you do this? These are your people. So close that he is able to have this negotiation skills with God. So close that he is the only one that is able to see the backside of God, the glory of God. That's the kind of Moses that Moses has become later in this story. God loves to work with human vessels because he wants you and me to experience that power. This whole process, Moses was changed as a better person, a better believer of God. The next point that I want us to consider is this. God can use anyone. God does not call. You probably have heard the phrase, God does not call the equipped, but he equips the called. But I want us to twist that a little bit to say something like this. God does not call only the equipped, because obviously God has called those that are equipped as well, that have gone to Bible schools, that have gone to, let's say, their field of, you know, mastery, psychology probably, probably being a doctor. He also, however, calls those people that are not equipped, and he equips them, like Moses. If you go to the Old Testament, you'll see lots of people that are very, very broken. One of them, I have talked about this in during the Bible study, is David. David is considered as the man after God's own heart. But if you go back to history, David was an adulterer, a murderer, a liar. But he was used by God. Abraham, what? Abraham was too old to have a baby. God used him. Moses was what? Moses was a drunkard, but God used him to build his ark. God used him. Moses, not a good follower of God in the beginning, but God used him. Elijah, he doubted God's power. And so he said, just kill me, God. I don't want to be a prophet anymore. But God used him. Paul said, God, take away this thorn from me, this suffering from me. He was very philosophical, but God used him. Peter, he was definitely a liar, like you and me, but God used him. We can go on and on and on about people in the Old Testament and New Testament, and God continues to use them. They're not perfect people. They're like you and me. But God uses each one of these people in the Old Testament, in the New Testament as well. I think it's a reminder to us this morning that God can use anyone. Moses, when he was called by God, he was 80 years old. He has lost hope that he will be somebody. He was once a prince in Egypt, but he has lost hope. What am I going to do with being a shepherd out in the desert with nobody but my sheep and my family, my wife and my two or three kids? What am I going to do with this? I am a nobody. And we somehow have come to believe that we are just like Moses, that we are nobody, that God's not going to use us because we are old, we're a farmer, we don't have any sort of knowledge, we don't have any sort of position that people will, you know, tend to love. We only have the stuff. But Moses' story is a reminder to us that it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about how much knowledge you have. It's not about how much influence you have. It's about your willingness to be used by God. And the good thing is, if even in the beginning you're doubtful about God's working in you, God, as like in the example of Moses, is patient to work through your doubts. Because God was very patient with Moses. He said, God, I have this excuse number one, okay. Excuse number two, okay. Excuse number three, four, five, okay. I'm still going to work with you, Moses. I'm still going to work with you. When I came here, I have this doubt in my head. Why would the eldership take a chance on me? Why would Mark take a chance on me? Why would you take a chance on me? And then Mark sat down with me and he said, he reminded me of this, we're not taking a chance on you. God, the Spirit, has led you to us. And so in a way, and I told Mark about this, Mark is my hero. Mark Loftus is my hero. Because he has worked through me And through my weaknesses, he said, and he reminded me, you are in the right place, Jeffer. You may doubt yourself, but you are in the right place. And you have been very, very, very generous to me, not only with money, not only with your hugs, but also with your words. This morning, somebody said, every time you speak, you are getting better. I don't know, but thank you. Praise God for that, but I really appreciate that. I think that's one of the things that tells me God is working through you, through me, and we work together as a church family for this. We walk alongside each other as a church family. Third point I want us to consider this morning is this. God is seeking for people through which to move and work. He is seeking for people that are available. Are you available? Moses, he didn't have any sort of thought that day that he's in his head that he's going to walk to this bush and hope that this bush will set itself on fire. He didn't have that thought, but he was present. He was available in that moment, and God spoke to him. I don't know how he was able to process the things that he saw, but he said, okay, I'm going to open up to this miracle here. I'm going to listen to this voice that's telling me something. I'm going to be present in this moment and listen to God. He was available. Are you available? Are you available? Don't count your years. Don't talk about your years. Don't talk about your knowledge. Don't talk about your experience. Just consider this. Are you available? And I think all of us are available. We definitely are some sort. We have here doctors. We have here pediatricians, PDAs. I probably said it wrong. We have here professors. We have here people work in the bank. We have here people that work in, universities. All these fields are available for us, and you are there for a purpose, for a reason, and it's probably to bless those people there, to be this source of positivity, source of life, somebody that speaks life to them, somebody that speaks life to the students. Andrew, I didn't ask Andrew about his authority or his permission to this, but is it okay if I share? He said that I'm going to start sharing Luke chapter 6 to my student next year. I think that's probably one of the reasons why you're there. Forgive me for sharing your name. But these are opportunities for us to be available, not only in the position that you're working in, but to be available for others as well. And I think God is telling us, be available so God can speak to you for others. God can speak to you, to me. I can speak to you. I can speak to you and you to me. We can speak to each other and we can walk alongside. Here's an important verse from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 21. Which tells us that God is really working for people to work with Him. He said, in the house, there's many utensils in the house. Some are made of silver, some are made of gold, others are made of clay and wood, and some are preserved in a special cabinet for a special occasion, and others are used for ordinary purposes. But those that make themselves, in my word, paraphrasing here, available, those that make themselves clean will be used for special purposes, dedicated and useful for the good work that is preserved and designed by God. So in this house, there's many kinds of tools. Some are used for special purposes, some are ordinary, some are made of gold, some are made of clay. Not that the other one is more important than the other. That's not the point of Paul here. He said that we have a different varying degrees of tools here, and everybody is available for God. But those that are available in the moment, like right now, they are the ones that will be used for a specific purpose. God is speaking to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9, Paul prayed to God. He said, take away this thorn from me. We really don't know what it this thorn is. But in 2 Corinthians 11, the chapter prior to chapter 12, he said, I have been shipwrecked. I'm going to read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I have been stoned to death. He said in verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I am a minister of Christ as well. I speak to you as I am a fool, even though I'm not a fool. In labors more abundant, in strifes more, in prisons more frequently, in deaths most often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils, in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of all my countrymen, perils of Gentiles, in perils of the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, in the false brethren, wearing toils, sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, in cold and nakedness, besides other things which comes upon me daily. Probably Paul is referring here as this is his thorn of the flesh, the sufferings. God, take this away from me. I don't want to be your speaker anymore. I don't want to be your prophet anymore. I don't want to be your vessel anymore. And God responded to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and 9 says, in your weakness, Paul, my power is shown. Are we not weak? Yes, we are. And in our weakness, God's power is shown in us. That is allowing God to work through our weaknesses, allowing God to work through our flaws so that the whole thing will come out as a glorious working of God. Because you see, whenever God works, He doesn't just work through you for others. Whenever God works, He works, yes, to others as well, but He works most specifically in you. God changes you first, and then He changes others, even though you are a vehicle for others. It's a win-win situation, brothers and sisters, when you allow yourself to be a vehicle of God. I hope that we will go home this week and realize that, yes, I might be old, but God can still use me. Yes, I may have not gone to Bible school, but God can still use me. Yes, I am a flawed person that goes to church every Sunday, that some people think I'm wearing masks, but God can still use me. Yes, I struggle with addiction, but God can use me. Yes, I struggle with cigarette, but God can still use me. Yes, I struggle with wine, but God can still use me. Yes, I struggle with images, but God can still use me. I hope this week you will allow yourself to be available for the working of God. Because whenever God works, He does work for others, but He works through you first. And He changes you first. At the end of the day, God is glorified. And that's the main point. God is glorified in your life, and He is glorified in others as well. I would like to offer an invitation to anybody who's struggling with something, or just to anybody who wants to be prayed over for their struggles in life, and probably to somebody who wants to be a vehicle for God. You can come up and stand as we sing, or you can approach us later. Tyler is here, me, myself, and Mark as well are present. The elders, of course, are available to be here and speak to you about your concerns. But if you have anything spiritual need, please come up and we'll pray over you as we sing this song, or after we pray this song. Sing the song.